Morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, good.
Good.
Who is this?
This is Larry Wachtell. I'm going to get Ryan. It's going
Great.
to be up in one second. So,
Excellent.
are you in Florida or are you in Indiana?
I'm in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Oh. Okay. Well, hopefully you're having fun.
I'm here for a board meeting for Wake Forest University, and I'm going to go to the basketball game tonight where they play Duke.
Oh, awesome. Did you go to school there?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Okay. Well, that explains the ties to the university then.
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. There was a little bank out of Winston-Salem called Wachovia years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We actually ran their investment program in Florida for a couple of years before I got smart and got rid of all my management duties.
Did you really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. In
Right.
fact, when they
Of course, I
made
guess.
a small acquisition in Florida before the First Union acquisition came into play.
What Covia end up being?
Wachovia merged into First Union. We
Yeah.
took the name Wachovia. So it was First Union Wachovia, or Wachovia First Union, however you want to talk about it. But they had it as a merger of equals. So it was not a takeover of control. Even though it very much was, but it meant my stock options did not
Oh, crap.
vest. So the stock options ultimately went away. I think they vest finally expired this year, and they're so far underwater. There's a better chance of the Titanic recovering than the stock options.
Oh, that's too bad. So
Yeah.
is it still Wachovia, or did it become somebody else?
Now they're Wells Fargo.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's what I
Wells
thought.
Fargo came in 08, I guess, and ended up paying like $7 or $8 a share for, and or $7 for one acquisition, something like that. So they are substantially below where they were. But now Wells Fargo has to deal with a lot of the fallout from the First Union slash Wachovia days of opening accounts and opening unauthorized accounts. And this was all on the bank side of getting people to have multiple accounts, do different things, et cetera. So that's what a
Yeah.
lot of the Senate stuff was about from there.
Yeah, that's
Quick
cool.
question for you
Go ahead.
while I have you. The website. I went to the website and I didn't know if there was Supernova Consulting LLC.com. It's hard to get into because Big Brother doesn't like us going to anything, but
Right.
we're there. Is there a spot when we log in? Is that where we're supposed to go log in? Because it just looks like the books and products.
It is where you're supposed to log in. That's, they should have videos and you have webinars in there and white papers and all kinds of good things. And you should have a password to get in there.
Okay, I haven't gone in, and so I haven't even made it to this, but I'm going to put this to my favorites where I can have it. My email address is the same. I'll have to figure out what a password is, and I don't know if I've ever signed into this yet.
Okay. Cindy can give you the password.
I was
Cindy
just going
Bowie.
to, yeah.
Yeah, Cindy can give you the password. And that's good for a year of coaching. As long as you're being coached, you get free.
Right.
We charge $30 a month. And while you guys are being coached, it's free. So use it.
Yes. That's the same thing with the stuff that we do on a weekly basis, or sure that we're going through stuff. Okay.
Right. Right. Great.
Hopefully Big Brother will allow me to get in there if I say that and not have to go through Google and try to find some other way to get on the to get to it. Brian, have you ever been to SupernovaConsultingLLC.com?
I was just trying to access the webinars, and it was telling me I needed a username and password.
All right, I think we'll call Cindy one more time.
I've only been to the website that's linked to the video. I was scrolling through the links there.
Yeah, okay. All right, we can call Cindy Bowie, and we'll deal with that. Without Rob, who gets to go to the Wake Forest Duke game tonight.
Great. Supernova Consulting LLC is blocked on our servers.
Yeah, you got to go in through Google. But we'll deal with this.
So yeah, Duke is the first team in the ESPN 100 era to get the top three prospects in the ESPN 100.
Yep. They're graduating them as fast as they, or sending them to the NBA as fast as Louisville or Kentucky.
Yeah, they are.
It's just a farm team, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned in this week's video, you mentioned a couple of things, what I thought are several different points, but one in particular was kind of the value of, or in, as importance, things that we do. You put down the game board as being the top or the most important aspect for us.
Yeah, I would say that that's fair, and the reason is accountability.
Correct.
Okay, the biggest challenge we have as human beings is procrastination. We have all the great intentions in the world, but that's why gyms are pretty empty in October, but very full in January. And it's just human beings just don't want to do things that there is any fear associated with. And so they avoid it. If you could get the activity done, here's the key for you guys. If you focus on the results, people will avoid the behavior because they don't want to be accountable. So you focus on the activity, which by itself has no result, except the activity, see? Anybody can pick up the phone and make a call. If you get, remember when we used to give ourselves credit for making, 100 phone calls or 300 phone calls a day? And that, the purpose of that was to get the activity right. So today we don't cold call, so what's the activity that we need to engage in, which will give us the same results that we used to get from cold calls?
Right.
And that's what goes on the game board, the activity. And nobody can say, well, I couldn't do the activity because I'm scared, because the activity is just the activity. It's, we're not measuring the outcome. We're not saying, did you open an account when you met with a center of influence? The question is, did you meet with a center of influence? So if you paid everybody for the activity, they'd do it.
Okay.
So no, the question
I think that makes sense because we're trying to get to the activity, which will lead, if we do the activities, it will lead to proper process. And
right, but you'll get to the outcomes. You'll get to those.
Right.
You're not going to just be a robot doing this stuff. You're actually going to engage and do it smart and think about it. But the key is to do it. And that's 98% of the people will not do the activity. Okay. And that's why the Barron's list is so small. Because there's only a few people actually willing to do the activities. And the activities I recommend are the activities that those people do.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend something that didn't work.
All right, I can appreciate that.
So it's just a question of, you know, holding each other accountable. Have you ever tried to do something difficult by yourself? I mean, for example, have you ever tried to train for a marathon?
No, I've never been that...
that crazy, right?
That crazy.
Right, well,
but yeah, sure, you're right.
Or climb Kilimanjaro, or do anything really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it yourself. You have to have a training partner. You either hire them or you get somebody to volunteer. I ran one marathon, Minneapolis Marathon, and I had a training partner who ran with me every day. He was a marathon. And he was a friend, and he got me through it, and it was easy with him. But by myself, I couldn't have done it.
Yes, right.
So that's what the game board is. Okay? It's your way of saying, we're going to support each other to run this marathon. We're going to do something that's really hard. We're going to be really proud of it. And we're going to do it together. And everybody's going to do it.
Yeah, we might need to just have an oversimplified one at first. Because quite honestly, Rob, like, this is, like, this is the hardest thing in the world for our team, is to actually follow through on behaviors. Like all this stuff makes sense, and then when it comes to actually doing it, you know, like, Larry, the first time we did a coaching thing, you know, like, Larry was pretty good about doing the stuff, and I was maybe a C, and then Barry was, like, non-existent. So getting him is going to be very difficult, and that's going to be my hardest challenge.
All right, so here's what you have to do. You have to focus on the outcome. You can't,
I
mean, you've got to focus on what
the outcome.
You've got to focus on, yeah, you got to focus on the, what's it going to feel like to run across the finish line having finished a marathon?
That's make Barry realize what's it like when he's going to have 60,000 a month in trail hit and he's subtracting 100,000 to start the year.
Yeah.
That's it. How's that going to feel? You know, but that's going to take all the burden off of you. All the pressure, all the stress, all this, it's going to be a flow of capital like a river coming in, and you're the beneficiary of it. That's what I mean. You got to focus on that goal. Outcome was the wrong word, but we use it in a different context. The goal is what you got to focus on. You got to get everybody to buy into a mutually beneficial goal, and then you identify the daily, weekly, monthly activities that you must engage in order to reach that goal. So for me, we just laid out a 6-month planning calendar of how much we were going to run every day, every week, until we got to, you know, we were running 20 miles, you know. And once we got to 20 miles, we knew we could do 26. We never really had to run 26.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can run 20, you can run 26. So what you want to do is say, okay, so what are the activities we need to engage in order to get to this goal? And what I've laid out for you is seven different activities that will generate business for you. This will get you to your marathon goal. The question is, of those seven, do you have to do them all? No. Okay? So pick two and do them. Okay? Pick three and do them. Okay? But don't pick zero and don't try and do seven because it's probably too many. Your brain can only handle so much. But you pick two and then add a third one every month until you get to a point where you can't handle it. Maybe you can handle four. Okay, so centers of influence work the best. How do you develop the centers of influence? You simply start by using the enthusiastically endorsed questions. So what's our activity for this week? We're going to, every day, ask a client the enthusiastically endorsed question. Okay, so at the end of the week, we're going to have five activities that we're going to engage in. Okay? We don't have to talk about the outcomes. Just did you ask the question?
I'm having a lot of success so far, just last 2 weeks doing these calls in this format. I don't know if the clients are ready for the calls and they're thinking about more stuff or what, but I've had much more productive conversations, and I've already identified a significant amount of business that was not there before, or, getting people off the sidelines. And in terms of, doing some things, talking about the planning and looking bigger picture and, getting more money out of the banks and whatever it is. Like, I'm not really sure. I'll see if it continues. I'm sure the good market is helping with that scenario. But, my biggest issue right now is the reason I was ready for this call is because I had a call scheduled at 10 for today, and then that one ran I was running up against the wire, and then when some of my other clients do call in with things, like my biggest trader called in, and like the CPA has been trying to reach us forever, and I'm like trying to like get to them before I continue, because I'm going to have to like get on my cell phone because I'm headed across town for another meeting at 12, but like sometimes I don't know if I need to leave more time between the meetings or what, but like that's where I'm getting caught up a little bit right now, where it's like my whole day like just evaporates sometimes, and then like I'm sitting there at 4 o'clock with like a list of 30 things I need to do, and
And I think that's going to continue though, Ryan, and that goes back to my thesis that I said earlier. Once we continue to do this and buy into it, it's like the diet in a sense. We're seeing the effects of it, so we're going to do it more and more. But I think from after 9 months of us constantly doing this and drinking the Kool-Aid and following through and trying to stay as diligent as we can, that it'll get easier as well, and we will get more structured, and it shouldn't be as herky-jerky as it is right now.
Well, you're absolutely right, Larry. I mean, the truth is that you're benefiting from the clients opening up like a flower, and they gradually, and this is not unusual, it happens. The more you call, the more consistent you are, the greater the trust, the more they'll open up, and the more business you'll do. So in the beginning, you get this surge of business, which is like, oh, God, it's good, and it's bad, because you end up with no time. That will go away, okay? I'm not saying that you'll do less business. It's just that the new business from these existing clients will get done, and then you will have less to do. The calls will be shorter, and the activities and all the things that come up now won't be coming up. So you'll go back to a more normal phone call, and that's the good news and the bad news. You'll get a lift, and I contend that it's somewhere in the order of 30% lift in business, you know, from your existing clients because you're opening them up and getting all their money, transferring money in, doing more products and services, etc. That will stay. That lift will stay, but you won't get another 30% lift from that, okay?
Right.
That's why we need the acquisition piece and why there's a stretch that has to go on now, meaning you're going to be busier than you'll be in the future, especially if you're trying to implement the acquisition strategies at the same time you're calling these clients. So do you just not do the acquisition while there's 30%? No, because then when that 30% increase ends, you'll have no pipeline.
Right.
Okay, and then you won't grow. You'll flatten out. And my job is to have you grow steadily. And you need to fill your pipeline in order to grow steadily. Even though you're having a nice surge right now, that won't continue.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your calls won't be an hour. They'll be 35 minutes. You know, they'll be 30 minutes. They'll be 15 minutes because somebody has to go. But now they're an hour and 5 minutes because people want to talk to you. Okay.
Right.
They won't need to do all this talking in the future. They'll be cooked. You'll have stuff that comes up, especially if they're very large. That will continue. They will get more complicated. But the smaller clients will get cooked. There's only so much you can do. Okay? But Larry's right in the sense that, you know, he's busy right now. And I understand that.
In terms of seeing clients once a year, I actually lobbed a call out to another advisor at Morgan Stanley that I've heard speak at some of the conferences, and he spent an entire year just traveling the country visiting his clients. Like, he did like a, I don't know what you'd want to call it, but he basically was on the road like a ton in 1 year. And, I know it changes the dynamics, just being in their homes and showing you, making the effort to haul your ass out to Montana or wherever this client is. How do you suggest we go about doing that in terms of...
Well, you're supposed to do it twice a year, and you're not supposed to have clients that it's not worth visiting. If they're not worth visiting twice a year, you shouldn't have them as clients. I know that sounds rough, but that's the truth, okay? So, yes, it's critical, and yes, that's when you get your introduction. That's when you build your deeper relationship. And if the client is worth it, you'll see the benefits of it. If they're not worth it, then you want to put them on the list, on the bubble of people you want to reassign. If you've got one client in Montana, it probably doesn't make any sense. Okay, you need to have 10 clients in Montana, so when you go to visit them, you take a few days and you see them all. And you do it twice a year. Okay, so profitability was part of the screen that you set when you did segmentation. Because, you know, if you have all your clients within 20 miles of your office, it's a lot more profitable than having them, you know, 2,000 miles away.
Right.
Okay, but you're working towards creating this perfect brand, which is absolutely consistent to every single client, which is multi-generational financial planning, implementing that plan through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 years, two of them in person, and then rapid response to their problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. And when you can go to a center of influence and say, every client gets this, you have a brand. Until then, you don't. Your brand is determined not by your best client, but by your worst client.
So a client that doesn't need our full experience shouldn't be our client.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a, I guess it's a, unfortunately, it's a true statement. But, you know, we still have the Harveys and stuff along the way, but it's fine.
Yeah, we're getting better. I think I shared with you, like, last year, our bottom 4% household was $100,000. And now our bottom 4% household is $250,000. So we are climbing, so to speak, like our average relationship in our top, you know, our top 20% went from 700,000 to like a million, you know, that type of stuff.
Yes.
So we are on the right track, but it's hard because we're not at a state, like I was looking at my book of business and of the 60 people I work with, really only a handful of them are over $2 million accounts. I have a lot of people in that $1 million to $2 million range. And they're good. I mean, I guess for right now, I think they're good clients. Like, I don't want to give them away. Like, I'm not going to bring on any new ones at that level right now, but I can't give away everyone on a $2 million because then I won't be doing anything and I won't be making any money.
Right, but the people that are there aren't a pain. They're easy to work with. They do what they do what we say. They're an easy client to work with. So it's not spending a lot of energy to do that.
Yeah, like I've got one guy, Rob, who you know, I've had like 400,000 for a couple of years, and I've been waiting for him to retire. He's about to retire, and he's gonna jump up to like $1.2 million or something like that. And he's a nice guy. Like he's not hard to work with. You know, he lives in Fort Myers, so I mean, it's like a 2-hour ride across. But I can actually, he comes over a lot, so I'll be able to see him. Is he someone
right.
I keep until he's my worst client kind of situation?
That's good.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, until he becomes your 61st client, you keep him.
But we're trying, like, if we bring on a $3 million account, we're trying to get rid of a couple $300,000 accounts. And
That's the easy way to do it. Okay, what you don't want to end up with is a, you know, a multi-tier segmented book where you perpetually deliver different levels of service that nobody can explain. Okay.
So
you got your supernova clients, then you've got your sort of supernova clients, and then you've got your Chevy Nova clients, you know, and then it's like you don't have a brand. You don't have a plot, a process. You can't explain it. You can't explain it to a CPA, standard of influence. You can't explain it to your partners.
Right.
Well, simplicity is a really important part of this process.
So we've identified two advisors to take our clients at 500,000 level or less, and we've also identified another advisor to take our clients, or prospects, I should say, at $1 million level or thereabouts. So we have our virtual team kind of in place right now, at least for the time being. So, you know, and I keep going back to this a little bit, but, one thing that we're having, I don't know if I told you this, but, I quit running one of our models, the one that I had the most trouble with. We're outsourcing that. We're giving it up and we're paying somebody else 30% of our fees to run that taxable income model for us. Because that's been consistently the most frustrating one for me to deal with. And we're now farming that out and repositioning. We're repositioning some of the assets, and with the rest, we're just giving it to someone else to run, and we're going to keep 70% of it. So that was a big shift for us to say we're going to drop that model and we're no longer going to mess with that. And that's, you know, freeing up some opportunities to do some other things with those funds. But in terms of
with your time. I mean, what are you going to, you know, then you say, okay, I've got this time now. What am I, how am I going to redeploy that time to be the most effective use of that time? So it's not just gone. You know what I mean?
Right.
What am I actually going to do with that time exactly?
You just said it wrong, Ryan, but that's exactly what you, because we got rid of it because you're not having fun doing it, so let's,
I was really good at it. I keep it, but I'm not that good at it.
Hmm?
That was good.
And so, once again, you don't have to be. We'll work with, let somebody else pull with that and work with what you do well, acquiring assets and moving forward on that venue.
Right.
So we talked to managers about getting additional support. They basically told us we can hire an intern and pay them $10 an hour, but they're not going to give us any more help on the CSA front unless we pay for all of it, which we can't. So, or won't, or however you want to say it. It's just, it's too burdensome for us to pick that up at this juncture. So we basically have to figure out how to lighten our service associates' plate with stuff that an intern can do. So I assume that's kind of, we can have them type up agendas and, you know, do meeting confirmations and all that type of stuff. Do you have anything on, you know, dealing with an intern as a team member or just anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, what I would do with them would be to say, look, this is your project. I want you to write up a paper for your business professor. I want you to read the book, The Supernova Advisor. I want you to study what we're doing and how we're doing it. I want you to become the authority on how to do this. And then write up this idea of the productivity increasing. Let me go to the MIT study, read that. Harvard did a study on it, did a case study, have them read that. And then they can build folders when you bring in new clients. They can do everything probably but call the clients. You could even have them do that if you felt really comfortable with them.
Sure.
They could run Supernova, but it'd be really helpful if they could be a backup. If something, you know, when your CA gets sick,
right,
or have to, you know, then you're not out of business, you know.
By doing that, they understand kind of the 10,000 foot view, but more importantly, they, especially from an intern, we're paying them $10 an hour, not a big deal, but they're learning, they're understanding, and you know, they're going to take that process a little different than, what's his name, that was the swimmer, the diver kid.
Plus,
even more importantly than that, we don't have to directly find things for him to do. He'll have stuff to do. He'll have a game plan. It may be a loosely written game plan, but at the end of the day, he's being judged on productivity, which is keeping us in line.
Right. And working directly with Christine, you know,
right,
that's really
and
important.
Christine's his boss, too. Yes, yeah, very, very well.
Right. So anything that's in there?
Yeah, Ryan's up.
Okay. So anything that she needs done, she... You know, but the intern then sees, as you said, sees the big picture, sees what Christine is responsible for. She's solving problems. She's doing the things that she can't do. But, you know, carrying his own weight in this is really important. So I think it's the smartest thing you can do. You can do other things, but then everybody sees how everything relates to each other. And they don't feel like they're just sitting there filing things.
Yeah. but it also makes it a little more, because it's not just coming in and doing paperwork or doing this, it's coming in and actually having a feel of the business too, which I think is beneficial for us as well as for them, because they're going to enjoy the process and hence be better for us also.
Now, there's an expiration date typically for insurance. So you want to know what that expiration date, you want to know what time, amount of time they can give you, what their expiration date is. And then you tell them that the second part of their job is to interview and find their replacement and then train their replacement.
Okay.
Okay? So you always have an interest. But you don't have to do anything. So if you go once to the business school to get the best intern you can, and from then on, they are responsible for duplicating themselves.
Hmm. I would have never thought of that.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
And then you become the prestigious place to have an internship. And everybody does the exact same thing. Everybody writes the same paper. And everybody gets credit for it.
Hmm.
Just think about them being in charge of the game board and the scoreboard.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're really gonna embarrass yourself by having you not being ready for a meeting that the intern scheduled and has up there. And you go, well, I'm sorry, I didn't do anything this week. I don't think so. I think that's a great way to hold yourself accountable.
That's something that we can do fairly easy too.
What, have an intern set up a meeting?
No, have the intern kind of run the game board. We're just feeding them data. Running the game board, they see what's going, on, but they also get that, read the book, understand what's happening, trying to put together a paper, makes them feel like they're very much part of the team. And their professor may even like that paper or may not. Lord, I don't think you and I are going to spend a lot of time reading it, but that doesn't matter.
That's right. That's the thing, he and the professor, not you guys. But I mean, let's say he gives a scoreboard too, and he holds you guys accountable for having your five-star model meeting on Thursday afternoon, right? So, you know, he runs two meetings and maybe even a daily stand-up meeting. It's the Christina's job is to really make sure those things happen, but by having an intern backs her up and gives her more backbone in terms of getting these things done.
Mm-hmm.
You send them to Costco to get a nice switchboard to put up on the wall. He puts it up, and it's just an extra pair of brain, you know, it's an extra pair of hands with a brain. Doing all the things that you guys haven't had time to do.
Yeah, we might be able to think of a lot of stuff once we have somebody here.
That's the frustrating part about all of it, because there's so much we want to do, and it's like, we can't find the time, and then we have to find the time to do the stuff. Like, I personally, I'm struggling, like, I have a three-month-old and a three-year-old, so I'm like, you know, I haven't been going to the gym at all, because it's supposed to be in the morning, so then now our daughters are waking up every 2 hours, like, alternating, so, like, my wife would kill me if I, like, left the house for 2 hours in the morning, and she was stuck with both of them, and like, we've been working bell to bell here at the office, and like, you know, I'm going to go home, then like, by the time we get the girls to sleep, it's like 8:30, and like, I'm really struggling to take control, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing for me right now. Like, I'm really, really having a hard time with it. Like,
be careful. I mean, be very careful of your health. Because if you're not going to exercise, then you can't eat, okay?
Sorry, son, I'm going to cut out of Bluetooth.
Yeah. I said, if you're not going to exercise, you can't eat, okay, the way you used to. So you got to be really careful at these times. That's when everybody puts on weight. It's the winter. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to really be careful.
Yeah.
You can mess up your health pretty quick.
Yeah, no, that's what's happening. Like, I need to figure out, I need to get control back, you know, I wish we worked in one of those buildings where I had a gym in the building and I could, go get a workout at midday and just stay till 6 or something, you know, that's my biggest struggle is right now, just trying to find a balance, because my wife's career is, incredibly hectic, you know, she's going to be flying up to Toronto for a couple days for this board meeting, and I'm going to have all of work, all of family, you know, like, it's going to be fun. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to reconnect to, I'm going to have to reread the book on, focusing your energy and everything.
Yeah.
Do you have a nanny?
I have in-laws that are there during the day, and we have housekeepers that come and clean once a week. So we have invested more this year in hiring more help. Like, we took our housekeeping to weekly, and we, I hired a pool guy, and we have a lawn guy. I'm outsourcing most of that. My in-laws are there during the day. Like, my daughter goes to preschool, but the newborn, they got her during the day. But, as soon as we get home at, 5, a lot of times they want out, So then, we take over as soon as we get home. And then, by the time I get my 3-year-old to bed after her 19 stall tactics, 8:30 at night. So, last night, my wife was literally passed out by, 9:15, on the couch, sitting up.
What about a mother's helper? Where you hire one of the high school kids in the neighborhood, come over from 5 to 8, there for 3 hours, and you pay them whatever you pay them, but the point being is that when we had the kids, Nancy was, that was the hardest time. Nancy can help you. She can burn water, but you guys already have that taken care of, but that way you get a mother's helper, some kid in the neighborhood that's got a brain, some high school kid, and just gives you another set of hands or another resource, because I can't imagine that Mary Beth doesn't need to finish up a phone call or knock out something where she can do that a half an hour here, 20 minutes there. You're working on stuff, and it may just be an inexpensive way just to get you over the edge. Maybe it's 3 days a week, I don't know, whatever, but that may be a cost to help in this equation too, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. All right. Run it by her first. Tell her the concept. I never heard of it, but Nancy called it a mother's helper. So.
Yeah.
The other thing, what I hear is these crazy couples that are doing what you guys are doing. She gets up at 4:30 and works out. Okay, and then he gets up at 5:30 and works out. Now they have a treadmill in their house where they do it, but to me, that's the only time that you guys have time to do that stuff. So you literally have to go to bed at 8:30. But if that's when you're going to bed anyway, that's your workout time.
Yeah, we bought my wife one of those Peloton cycling bikes for the house.
Oh, yeah. I've heard those are good. Those are good. I got a couple of buddies that use those as well.
Yeah, so she loves it. And she's been sneaking in 30 and 45-minute workouts, on my back, essentially. Or she'll try to come over early and knock one out. But she's been pretty good about that.
I'm trying to find a pair of cycling shoes that fit me because, like, they don't sell them anywhere. I've got to, like, order some offline or something. I'm working on that to see if I can start sneaking those in. But, no, I think you're right. I think you're right, Bob. I'm just saying, like, right now, you know, like, I was up with my daughter from, like, 2 to 4 last night. So, like, a 4:30 or 5:30 workout wasn't happening. Like, I was, like, you know, the night before, like, one of them woke up at 2, and then the other one woke up at 4, and the other one woke up at 6, and they were just, you know, taking turns, and it's like, you know, it's tough. And my wife's job is probably more demanding than mine as well, so it's hard finding balance right now. It really is.
Yeah.
Like, I need to. Like, I recognize I need to. Like, it's, I'm just trying to figure out what to do, you know?
Well, it won't last forever. It won't last forever. You know. So anyway, I've got to run. You guys have got, this has been good though. I like this. I hope it's been helpful to you. What were the takeaways from today?
The intern stuff and the game board.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just, I think,
just keep moving forward.
I think we need to envision what we want a bit more and work towards that. I think right now we're working on being better, but better is a kind of nebulous. We may need to, like, have some, restate our stated goals. You know, like, what is our goal? Our goal is to have, you know, 300 million in managed money or 200 million in managed money. You know, like, actually have written stated goals that we can work towards.
Yeah,
the milestone
beginning. Yeah, that's a good idea for Barry when he gets back to get him on focus and on point again.
Yeah, Barry.
We'll have to deal with that. All right.
Well, remember, John. Yeah, the only thing that you can control is yourself. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and a lot of it is done by example. So, you know, two of you show up to the meeting, that's better than none. Okay? The only two that you can control is you. Okay, so
yeah, Rob,
you guys...
The biggest way to put a fire under Barry's ass is going to be for me to have a lot of success with this,
yep.
And then start taking share of business from him, and that's when he's gonna wake up. You know, like if I bring in $30 million in the next whatever, and Larry and I come in and say, all right, Barry, you know, like Ryan's running $30 million, he's up for a percentage increase, and you're not doing what you need to be doing. That's when he's gonna get on board. You know,
so that's, for that. I get that. That's the way I used to run the office.
Yeah.
You know, your rabbits win. You light the rabbits on fire, and they make everybody else run around the track. The dogs are chasing the rabbits. And so you just, you know, that's your job. Your job is to win.
Yeah.
All right. Okay? All right.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Have fun with it. See you. Bye-bye.